Okay, so thank you very much. So thank you for the organizer for the invitation. It's my first time at Fields Institute, and I'm very pleased to be here. So this is joint work with Noam Berger, who is not at TU, but at Hebrew University, and myself at Technical University. So let me just start with the background. So we're going to look at a very simple random walk in random environment. Very simple because, first of all, it's a time-discrete process, just jumping to the nearest neighbor. So we can only jump to nearest neighbor. So these are the i's unit vector in ZD. And if you want to look at an environment, basically it is just a probability distribution at x on this nearest neighbor. As usual, we define the shift here. So if you just shift the environment on omega, and we are going to consider an ergodic probability measure on omega. Now, as advertised in my title, I will focus only on IID, but principally there are also some results in the ergodic case. So in the IID case, we just take a product measure where mu is the distribution on this probability here. Just to avoid a confusion, we do not allow the random walk to stay put, which means to just, he has to move. So what is? So the environment is going to be balanced. So the definition of balance means that the probability that you jump from Z to Z plus EI is the same as Z minus EI for every I. This is one question. The next point is, because advertised d-dimensional, so it's going to be, we say that the environment is generally d-dimensional if for every direction you can find a point for which the jump probability is strictly positive. In contrast to this weak, generally d-dimensional condition is the stronger condition, which is just the elliptic condition, which means that the probability that you jump to each direction is strictly positive. So I'll show some picture very soon to see the difference. So basically we're going to focus on this, on the two here. And as usual, we've already seen this today quite a few times, and we're going to see it later. Random walk in random environment, well, you just freeze the environment. The omega is given, so this set of weights are given. And you look at the Markov chain on ZD. This is the transition. So suppose at time n you are at Z, then you jump at time n plus 1 to Z plus E with this weight. So the quench law is just the law of this Markov process, and if you start at Z, the probability that starting at Z is 1. Okay, so this is just very standard. We also look at the joint law of both environment and the walk, and then we can look at the Anide law, which just integrates things out. Okay, this is very standard. Now, what is the quench invariance principle? Well, as usual, we just use a diffusive scaling, which means we just rescale time and space. I mean, time is speed up by n and space by square root of n, and this is just the usual linear interpolation. We say that we have a quenched invariance principle if for p almost all omega, so you freeze yourself omega and you look at this rescaled continuous function, and this should converge under this measure here, so this is starting at zero, to a Brownian motion and with a deterministic diagonal matrix. So it's easy to see because we only can only jump to nearest neighbor in this situation that the matrix should be diagonal. So this is what I call the quench invariance principle. Now our main result, so this is with Noam Berger and myself. Let D equals 2 and assume that the environment is IID, generally two-dimensional and balanced. Then the quench invariance principle holds with a non-degenerate limiting covariance. So the resulting matrix is non-degenerate. And of course, the resulting matrix is deterministic. Now, this is not an immediate corollary. You need to know some ergodicity, but suppose that you know some ergodicity, then the two-dimensional random walk in random environment is this balanced environment is recurrent as a result of Harry Kirsten. Actually, we believe, but we cannot prove it yet, that the invariance principle should hold in any dimension. So every dimension, also for a larger dimension, but in this situation it should not be recurrent, but of course it should be transient. So this is still work in process, but it is still not done here. But maybe explain, you will see at the end of the talk where the two-dimensionality comes into the game. Okay, previous result. Well, in the 80s, I think in 82, Greg Lohler showed the quench invariance principle for ergodic, so not only IID, ergodic, but uniformly elliptic environment. What is a uniformly elliptic is that you have a lower bound of jumping, so in every direction. And recently, Gore and Saituni showed first the quench invariance principle for IID elliptic. So let me recall you what I mean by elliptic. Just mean that it's strictly positive, but no bounds. They don't need any bound, in contrast to Lohler's result. Lohler has this lower bound on the jump rate. So they could prove this. And they also proved it for ergodic environments, but they assume some moment condition here. So the moment condition, so as you look at this product here, you need that the minus P, so it should not be too degenerate at zero. You have this. And in fact, this condition is not artificial because you can easily construct example of ergodic balanced environment where the invariance principle fails. I mean, Ofer showed me today once. We have another example where actually we can prove that the random walk in 2D in this situation is transient. So basically, in the non-IID case, you need more than just elliptic. Okay. Also, Gore and Saituni also give a weaker condition here instead of P larger than D, P larger than 2, just to prove the transience in dimension 3 and higher, but also the condition. Actually, I think there's an open problem whether you can find a non-transient three-dimensional environment for which this does not hold. Okay, so the standard tool in this setting is the so. Yes. So these two, you assume that the environment is IID. Okay, so just independent copy. Generally two dimensional, so you can really, if you wait long enough, jump in any dimension. And balanced. Balance is important. So maybe let me make a comment. It's clear that if the environment is balanced, turned out that the random walk has no drift, zero drift, therefore it's a martingale. And this is the tool we're going to use once you have this in order to prove the invariance principle. What you have to deal with is to look at the environment view from the point of view of the particle, so you just shift the environment omega by the random walk itself. And it's clearly it's a Markov chain on the set of environment. And you can prove that this Markov chain has this very simple transition kernel. And as I said, the Xn is a martingale due to the balanced environment. The QIP is just for quench invariant principle. Will follow as soon as you can find an invariant measure for this object here, which is also ergodic. Well, I use ergodic twice, and you have to understand in different situation. So far, when I talked about ergodic, I always mean ergodic with respect to the space shift. Here, ergodic is meant with respect to the dynamic of the random walk in random environment. And if you can prove that such a thing, then you can prove with the standard method that the quench invariant principle holds. So one of the advantages of this situation here, unlike other situation, for instance, if you work on reversible random walks, if you work with reversible random walk, then here you don't have a martingale and you have to control the so-called corrector. On the other hand, what you have here is an explicit form for the invariant measure, and here's the other way around. You don't have to deal with any corrector because you have a martingale, but you have to show that you can find this invariant measure for this process here. Otherwise, you cannot apply the martingale convergence here. Now, there is some difficulty here, which is not completely obvious. I'll come to that with a picture. In the elliptic case, you also have that P is, I mean, you, the challenge in the elliptic case is to prove that you have existence of this guy here, but then it's quite easy to prove that once you have it, this one is also absolutely continuous and the ergodicity follows. But in the non-elliptic case, it's not true in general that the invariance measure for this environment viewed from the particle is not necessarily absolutely, is not equivalent on the invariance measure. And in order to show this, here, let me show a picture. Actually, I have a better picture. I don't know how you get. Second. So this is the better picture. So what is this picture? So this is what we should call. Let me tell you a little story about this business. So my interest on this random walk was started a few months ago when Ofer gave a talk in Oberwolfach. He presented the result I just mentioned, basically showing that if you have good moments in the elliptic case, and ergodic case, you have good moments. In the IID case, if it's elliptic, you can prove things. And Erwin said, what about a random walk, which basically this has been done, which is the following. This is a 2D model, and with probability 1/2 at each point, you either put an horizontal arrow or a vertical arrow. Okay, so this is one of the so you cannot see it really, but at each point this is just generated. At each point you either put one arrow like this or like this. And then what we draw here are the points which are what we call strongly connected. So the points where you can go back and forth. And then in blue you are the points which are not strongly connected where you will escape. So for instance, suppose you start here and this arrow here, you can go either up or down, and then you keep going on, you will never come back. On the other hand, on the red one, this is where you can just travel around. It turned out it's easy to see that if you think of the invariance measure for the environment view from the walker, that it's supported only by the red arrows. The support is only on these red arrows and not on the blue one. So they will disappear. So they are not. So I will keep this. And multiple will be and proceed here. So this is on the picture here. Now let me try to give you a few ideas on the proof. So basically we try to follow the idea, the proof that Ofer and what is the first name of your co-author? Chao-Ching. So we change a little bit. We had to change things. I will explain this a little bit. So because we're not in an elliptic situation, we have to look at what we call the rescaled walk. So the rescaled walk is generated in the following way. So first of all, let's denote by alpha of n. This is the coordinate, for instance here, either vertical or horizontal, which is changed at time n. So you only walk to nearest neighbor. So alpha n is I if the increment is in the I's direction. And we define a sequence of stopping times like this. So tk plus 1 is the first time after tk where each of the coordinates has been at least upgraded once. So maybe let me draw a picture of what could happen in this situation. So suppose you have a situation like this. So you look at your walker, it works like this. Look, you wait until you get here. So you will go this way. You want to make sure that you have upgraded each of the directions. And then the rescaled random walk, if you don't buy Y, is just a random walk at this time here. Now, one of the problem with this guy, of course, first in the definition, if you want to define this, you have to make sure that these are finite. And what is going to happen, of course, is that this walk is not nearest neighbor. We might have to jump very far, but not too far. Oh, one thing which I forgot to say, but which is quite important, because today, I think in the previous talk, where's the speaker? Sorry. Anyway, yes, sorry. You mentioned one of the problem in the random walk in a random environment is the problem of trapping. There's no trap here. One of the reasons there's no trap is because if you just look at the diagonal, so you look at x1 of n plus x2 of n. So these are the d coordinates. We call it by z of n. It turned out that this is just a simple random walk. On the diagonal, it's just a simple random walk due to the balance business. Therefore, it's kind of clear that if you can control the stopping times, then you also control how far you can go. More precisely, we have a couple of lemmas, but these are just quite elementary lemmas just to start with, which say that first, with respect to the annealed law, the stopping times are finite so that you can really define properly the rescaled walk. Not only that, but with respect to the annealed law, you have this stretch exponential tail. And this is just to show, let's denote this by the expected value starting at zero of the first stopping time. Then this is a quenched estimate. The probability that is larger than k is also of this form. This is kind of easy to deal with. This is IID. And now from the rest of the, we know nothing about the non-IID picture. This is only IID. Yes? No.
They are not independent, but they are simple random walks. If you say, instead of x1 plus x2, you say x1 minus x2, that's what you also.
Why? No. I show you a coupling. If it's like this, then we would have been done before, because then nobody forces you. You see, I always try to teach this to my students. I have to think about it, but nobody forces you to use the standard coordinate. But if both coordinates, the diagonal.
They are not independent.
I see.
They are not independent. They are random walks, not dependent.
Okay, that's true, yes. You're right. No, you could definitely take otherwise. Yes, because anything is flipped. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's right. So you could take other. If you could put plus minus, yes, you can put, because of course it's here. Now, let's look at the. So one of the ideas here, which is already used also, I think, by Lawler, was to look at the periodized environment. So you look at a big cube of size n, and you periodize everything. And you look at the empirical distribution for fixed omega, which converges weakly to p. The next, you look at this is just the uniform measure. This is without omega, just a uniform measure on this cube. And let's look at the stationary measure of the rescaled random walk on omega n. So actually, it's not z, but a. This is the difference because, so if you look at the random walk in random environment for given periodic, this is to be seen as a periodic environment, then, of course, because it's a finite box, you can find invariant stationary measure. Now the difference, one of the difficulty here, that depending on where you start, of course, you could have different ones. So we don't have a unique stationary measure, but just some measure. You know, the random Nicodemus derivative of this here. Then, and this is actually the trick. Oh. The stationary measure of the rescaled random walk, not the original one. So in the original work of for instance, in the paper of Ofer and his co-Gur, Zeltuni, they prove that this is, you can, for P is D divided by D minus 1, P almost surely this supremum remains bounded. And once you have this moment condition here, then you can, using the fact that this measure here converges to P, you can use this here just to prove that you have a control of the random Nikodym derivative of the invariant distribution of the Walker viewed from the particle with respect to the original measure P on the periodic cube, and you have higher moments so that you can just prove that it is uniformly integrable, and from this is the standard method to prove the existence of an invariant distribution. So basically what you want to do is replace here the difficulty is you have to replace the original random walk by the rescaled walk, and we prove a very similar estimate as in Ofer's paper. And this, I would say, is the standard. Once you have this, it's easy to prove that you have an invariant distribution here. At this point, we still don't know about the ergodicity, but at least the invariance is guaranteed by this type of estimate. Now, so the idea already, which we also learned from Ofer's paper, is to apply a so-called maximum principle. But instead of applying the maximum principle to the original process, we apply it to the rescale process. So there's a completely deterministic paper which deals with difference, with balanced difference operator. They just prove a so-called maximum principle. So here, for the first time you have to wait until all of the coordinates are upgraded could be infinite. I mean, could be very large, unbounded. So we cut it, we bound it this way. And then we look, let's first drop the n. So if I drop the n here, this is just the generator of the process y, if you think about it, because it's just by the time change. Here we just, if you wish, we could have, instead of taking the process y, which was just at this upgraded time, is the one where you just change it by this stopping time, which is truncated. And this is just a cube, this is just the boundary of the cube, the nth boundary of the cube. Then the maximum principle that we show is the following. P almost surely for all h, so h is just a function taking real valued from the cube, here it should be a z actually, not an n, the cube to the real. The maximum minus the maximum at the boundary is smaller than 4n squared times this norm here, and let me recall you what this norm here is, precisely this here. So basically, this is in essence what makes this estimate work. I mean, the first step you need this, basically. And the way we prove this is first to prove it without n, and then removing the n. And you really here use the fact that you see there is no way to get this without changing the Laplacian in the degenerate case, in the non-elliptic case. You have to change it, and by changing it with some smart martingale argument, you can prove this. Okay. Now, once you have this, as I said, all you have at this point is that you can prove. Let me just recall what. So you use this estimator. You recognize this norm here, which plays an important role, the diffusive scaling here. You have one problem that you might have to jump too far, so it's not completely obvious on how to bound this, and you need a so-called bootstrap procedure, which I will not describe here, which allows you in two steps, so it's a two steps procedure, just to finally get this estimate here out of this maximum principle. Again. This is an upper bound. This is an upper bound. This is an upper bound of this object here. You agree? No. You want to need in the argument in proving this. If you want to prove this here, you know, to prove this estimate here, all right? You need this, okay? And you use the heat equation in order to get the diffusive scaling, which is not immediately. So the first step, let me just tell you in a few words on how you would probably get here immediately. So the n squared is first has to be replaced by the expected time of this guy here, and then you bootstrap it. Okay. Like I said, you can extract from this the existence of an invariant distribution, but you still don't know whether it's ergodic, and you still don't know, since the support is not the same. You see, you don't want to get a result which is Q almost surely, but P almost surely. So you have to make sure that you get on the support. And the idea of getting into the support, this is where, so far, everything I told you worked in any dimension. But at this point, we are stuck into the two-dimensional case, just to complete the proof. And this is based on a nice and easy coupling argument. Now, the idea is to do the following. We can first prove the existence of an invariant distribution Q. However, like I said, P is not necessarily absolutely continuous respectively. And the coupling is, the first lemma is the following. We are in two dimension. And let's assume that you start the random walk at two locations, X and Y, but of course with the same parity. Otherwise, if they start at different parity, they will never meet. So for instance, one of the X could be zero and Y to be one of the other ones. Then almost surely we can find a coupling with a given marginal distribution so that they meet. And it turned out that once you have this, then it's quite easy to prove that in dimension two, the measure is ergodic. In fact, what happens is if you start your random walk, for instance, at one of these blue arrows, but once you get to the red one, you stay in the red. You will never get out. So basically, once you get in the support of Q, you stay there. Now, the proof here is not too difficult. You look at both diagonals, which is the diagonal of the X process and the diagonal of the Y process, and you realize that they are both simple random walk with the same parity, so they will meet. This is easy to prove. Now then, once they met, you can also couple both xn and yn so that on the diagonal they stay together. And you still have to deal with the other element here. In other words, this is the element which are outside of the diagonal here, the other coordinate. And it's easy to see that this is a martingale, so if you scale it correctly, it's just the time change of a simple random walk. And if it is the time change of a simple random walk, if you can prove that it will use infinitely many points after U, which is the case, because you just look on the diagonal, you always get to new. Here you use, of course, the fact that you are IID. Then it's easy to prove that you can also couple them. Now, I realize that I also told this to Francis. I have a problem. I never give talks with transparencies, or very seldom, because I get too fast to this. But thank you for your attention.